Amen. We're going to be in James chapter 3 this morning, so let's turn to James chapter 3. Now would be a good time to turn your cell phone on silent mode. And the brown wooden boxes that you see around the sanctuary, those are for tithes, offerings, prayer requests, praise reports. So you can use that box for those things. Let's all stand and greet one another in the name of the Lord. If you're using the Bible in front of you, it's right about page 1387. Lord, we thank you for your word that helps us grow, that gives us the information needed to grow, information that tells us the truth. I pray, Lord, that we would understand your word by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. Speak to us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every single one of us can readily relate to the passage that we're about to read this morning. And furthermore, every single one of us here this morning struggles with the subject of our text this morning. And I can say that confidently because this passage was written to people with tongues, and we all have tongues here this morning. I could ask you all to stick out your tongue and say "ah" to prove it, but I won't do that. That'd be gross. If you have a tongue, this text is for you. If you speak words, this text is for you. So it's for all of us. Let's see what James says, beginning in verse 2 of James chapter 3. He says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things." So James is telling us something here that I think we all instinctively know. The tongue is powerful. Words are very, very powerful. The tongue may be a small member of the human body, but it's the most powerful member of the human body. As one person put it, this mere 2-ounce slab of mucous membrane is one of the greatest forces in the world. And James uses a couple of illustrations to highlight that. He says, the tongue is like a bit that you would put in the mouth of a horse. Now, I don't know a lot about horses. I know some of you do. So I had to look up some information about horses, but they are mighty beasts. They are powerful animals. Adult horses weigh anywhere between 900 and 2,200 pounds. Some horses literally weigh a ton. They're about 8 feet wide, 4 feet 7 to 6 feet tall on average. A horse can easily carry 20% of its body weight. So some horses can easily carry 500 pounds. They gallop 25 to 30 miles per hour. I also read that some horses produce approximately 10 gallons of saliva a day. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I just thought I'd bless you with that fact. Horses are mighty. I mean, they are these powerful animals, and yet you put a little bit in the mouth, attach some reins, A 75-pound girl sitting on a horse can make that animal go right, left, speed up, stop. If she's really good, she can make the animal dance. Bow. Jump. That bit. So powerful. The tongue. So very powerful. He says the tongue is also like a rudder of a ship. Isn't it amazing? You got these giant cargo ships out there on the ocean. These an aircraft carrier. I looked at some stats about the USS Enterprise, a displacement of 84,626 metric tons. Length of about 4 football fields, width of almost a football field, travels 40 miles per hour, holds 5,828 people on board, and holds 90 aircraft on board. Planes take off and land on this thing. This massive boat. And if you go down and look under the front of it, you have this little rudder that's very, very small in comparison to the rest of the boat. And that little rudder helps steer that thing in wind, in storms, in all kinds of different tides, under different loads. Think of the power of a rudder. The tongue is powerful like that. Listen to what King Solomon said about the power of the tongue. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, he says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." My brother, my sister in Christ, your tongue is powerful. The words that you speak are powerful. What you say and how you say it is a really, really, really big deal. James also tells us here in our text that the tongue can do great damage. It's a very strong destructive power. Look at the middle of verse 5. He says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles." And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by what? By hell. That is shocking language. That is some of the most intense language that you find in Scripture. And James wants to shock us. He wants us to understand how destructive the tongue can be. He says the tongue is set on fire by hell. In other words, there's a pipeline from the fires of hell to the tongue. And the tongue, with this little spark, this little flame, can create fires that destroy nature. You know, every forest fire begins with a little spark. That's what the tongue is like. One of the great catastrophes of history was the Chicago Fire of 1871. Tradition has it that it started when Miss O'Leary's cow kicked over her lantern. One kicked over lantern, one match, one lit cigarette, and everything goes up. You can be a spiritual arsonist with your tongue. I'm convinced that if James were living today, he would use the acronym WMD. He would say, the tongue is a WMD. It's a weapon of mass destruction. what he says of it in verse 8. Skip down there real quick, right in the second part of verse 8. He says, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Verbal cyanide. Verbal mustard gas. Such is the destructive power of the tongue. And we all have it. Words can do so much damage. Words destroy relationships, friendships, marriages. I know of a Christian couple that was recently divorced after many years of being married. In their first year of marriage, they got in a heated fight, and the husband had said in anger, "I knew it was a mistake to marry you." He said he was sorry time and time again. "I didn't mean it, honey. It was in the heat of the moment, but it deeply wounded her, affected her security. And lots of things happened in that marriage, but that was a deep wound." Have you ever said something and you wish you immediately could take it back? You ever done that? You ever said something to the person you love and you see it literally wound them? And you wish you could take it back, but you can't. When words are used to put down people, to make fun of people, to belittle people, to mock people, does so much damage. And that's so destructive, particularly in the younger years, in high school, middle school, elementary. Bullying somebody at school. I'll bet every single one of us here this morning can remember a time in elementary school where we were made fun of. It stays with you. And if it happens a lot to people, it impacts them greatly. How about words of harsh criticism? Being overly critical about a person. Parent, we got to be so careful with that as we try to train and discipline our kids that we don't become harshly critical, or harshly critical with a spouse, or harshly critical with an employee that works for you. It can wound people. Bad teaching. False teaching, words that spread lies. We spoke last week about the danger of that. You think of a Jim Jones, 900 people committed suicide following his words. Charles Darwin, his teaching, his words. Has that had any impact on society? Look at the fire that started. Adolf Hitler. Words can move a nation. Words can spark a genocide. Adolf Hitler wrote a book entitled Mein Kampf. Somebody figured out for that every word in that book, 125 lives were lost in World War II. The fire, the poison, the destruction of the spoken word. Words of unbelief. Discouragement. Remember the story when the nation of Israel was about to go into the promised land, and they sent how many spies into the land to spy out the land? 12. And they came back with this awesome report. Oh, it is awesome. It's flowing with milk and honey. They brought back samples of the grapes, and oh, it's incredible. Oh, this promised land is incredible. But 10 of the spies says, but there's giants, and the cities are fortified. There's no way we can take it. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, stood up and said, yeah, we could take it. We have the Lord. But the 10 said, no, we can't. And what spread like wildfire? The words of unbelief. And where did that lead? 40 years of desert wandering. Power of words. And then I think one of the worst, most destructive uses of the tongue would be gossip and slander. Spreading rumors about people that aren't true. Assassinating reputations of people behind their back. Do we realize how incredibly destructive that is to a person's life? Do we engage in gossip? They were a happy little family living in a small town in North Dakota. Even though the young mother had been entirely well since, had not been entirely well since the birth of her second baby. But each evening, the neighbors were aware of a warmth in their hearts when they would see the husband and father being met at the gates by his wife and two small children. There was laughter in the evening, too, and when the weather was nice, father and children would romp together on the back lawn while mother looked on with happy smiles. Then one day, a village gossip started a story saying that he was being unfaithful to his wife, a story entirely without foundation. But it eventually came to the ears of the young wife, and it was more than she could bear. Reason left its throne, and that night when her husband came home, there was no one to meet him at the gate. No laughter in the house, no fragrant aroma coming from the kitchen. Down in the basement, he found the three of them hanging from a beam. Sick and in despair, the young mother had taken the lives of her two children and then her own. In the days that followed, the truth of what happened came out, a gossip's tongue, an untrue story, a terrible tragedy. The fire. The poison. We have that power. On the flip side, the tongue can be used for great good. Solomon said, the power of death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue can be used for healing. Think of it. Your words can be used for tremendous good, an incredible impact on people's lives. Words of affirmation to the ones that you love. Words that affirm your unconditional love to your wife, your husband, your kids. Kind words. Gentle words that lift the spirit. Think of it. That encouraging word that keeps a young person going in life. That encouraging word that leads a young person in what God has called them to do for the rest of their life. Teaching that comes forth from the Word of God. Teaching truth in a gentle, wonderful way, and the fruit that that can have on a person's life. Refusing to talk badly about people behind their backs. What about talking good about people behind their backs? When's the last time you defended someone behind their backs? The good of the tongue, the power of the tongue. Words of counsel that save marriage relationships. Words of counsel that bring restoration to strained friendship. Proverbs chapter 25 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Proverbs 16 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So Paul tells all of us as Christians in Colossians chapter 4. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Great power to do great damage, great power to do great good. We want to be doing this, amen? It's very hard, though. In this text, James tells us it's very hard to do that. We all struggle. In fact, if you look back up at verse 2, what's he saying there? For we all stumble in many things, but if it's almost like he said, but if someone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. The word thing, the tongue thing, it's the hardest part to control. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the deadly tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Isn't that interesting? I love it. We can tame every beast. We've tamed every wild animal. Lions. We have elephants do what they want. We want them to do in a circus. All of these wild beasts. I was watching the football game last week, and one of them, they had an eagle fly in right there before the game. And here's this eagle's been trained to fly in at the right time, and they go land at the right time. We can tame wild beasts. But James says we cannot tame our tongues. It's an unruly evil. We're so inconsistent, James says. And he says, we come to church and we raise our hands and we sing and we bless God and we praise God with our words. And then we go right out and say something ugly to somebody who's been made in the image of God. James says, how can you be speaking blessing and then immediately go out and curse? This tongue, it's unruly. How do we get more consistent in using our tongue in good ways? Well, look at verse 11. James says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. There's something we need to know about taming our tongue, and it's very, very important. And by the way, the answer is not to stop talking. I'm sure we could all say less. Amen? Elbow your neighbor on that. But it's not like we just stop talking. We have to talk. As one commentator said, you don't solve the problem of an unruly horse by keeping it in the barn, or the problem of a hard-to-steer ship by keeping it tied to the dock. In the same way, even a vow of silence is not the ultimate answer for the misuse of our tongue. We're going to talk. We're going to use our tongues. What do we need to do? Understand something very important. The answer for taming your tongue has to do with who you are on the inside. And never forget that. The Bible clearly teaches that who we are, really, on the inside, shows up in the words that we speak. James tells us here in verse 11, you know, if in the inside, if you're a fresh spring on the inside, if you got living water on the inside, then fresh water words are coming out. If you're a bitter pool on the inside, then bitter words are coming out. He says, if the inside of you is like a good tree, then there's going to be good fruit. If it's a bad tree, then there's going to be bad fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. Understand, who you are on the inside shows up in your words. And so if you want to be able to tame your tongue, you've got to be different on the inside. There has to be a transformation on the inside. And I want you to know this morning that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you become born again. You become a brand new creation. You become a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are given a brand new nature. Only the transforming, miraculous work of God through faith in Jesus Christ changes a person on the inside. And only if you are born again do you have any chance of taming your tongue. Now, some of you might need to do that this morning. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, this is hitting home. My tongue has destroyed and continues to destroy, and I can't get any control of it. There needs to be a change in you, inside you. You need to receive Christ this morning and become born again. Get that new nature. Now, having said that, when you come to Christ, doesn't mean that fight ends, does it? Even as Christians, we struggle. We may be born again. We may have had that inner transformation, but we still have the old nature hanging around. We still have the old sinful nature this side of heaven. And we are always going to struggle with that. In that case, this issue of taming the tongue is always a matter of control. Who's in control? Who's in control? Who's got the reins of that bit? Who's piloting the ship of your life? Who's steering the rudder? And the scripture is absolutely crystal clear. As Christians, we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to walk by the Holy Spirit, not by the flesh. We are to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I am telling you, there is no other area in life that we desperately need to be surrendered and yielded to the Holy Spirit than with our tongue. And Christian, what that means is that you always need to remember how powerful your words are. And you need to be depending upon the Holy Spirit daily in this area of your life. Hourly, moment by moment. As you're going through your day, are you mindful of what you're saying? Are you thinking about it? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to help you? Walk by the Holy Spirit. Depend upon him. And when you do blow it, when you do say things that you shouldn't say, immediately ask for forgiveness and get right with that person. Don't let those words fester. My brother and sister in Christ, let's allow our lives to be channels of blessing. Amen. Channels of blessing. And so much of that flows from what you say and how you talk. Maybe you've really struggled with that in your life. Well, it's time to get serious about it. Repent of the careless words that you speak. Ask the Lord to control you. You give that area to the Lord. Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us in this respect. Lord, I pray that we would never forget how powerful our words are. Lord, that we wouldn't see it as these little small things. We'd see the power in them. Lord, I do pray that we would be able to get control of our tongues by giving control to you, by yielding to you day by day. Lord, help us. Lord, perhaps you're bringing to mind to some of us, even now, somebody that we've hurt with our words. Maybe a wife, maybe spouse. Lord, I pray that there would be restoration. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you. This might be your time this morning, right now, head bowed, eyes closed. It's very possible that you know that you need to be redeemed, you need to be forgiven, you need to be transformed on the inside. And so I'm going to invite you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. The Savior died on the cross for you and rose again the third day. If you admit that you're a sinner, you ask him to be your Savior, all your sins will be forgiven and you'll become a new creation in Christ. Then, you can depend on his power for the way that you talk. If that's you this morning, I'd like to lead you in that prayer right now. Say, Lord, I invite you to be my Savior. I need that transformation on the inside. Lord, turn that bitter pool into a fresh water spring. Fill me with your living water. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, rising again. Come into my life and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise up. And let's close this service with words.